are not only fighting against this new wave of military technology, but who also understand the concept a victory to one is a victory to all. We in the Anti-War Committee Chicago know that Boeing is only one piece of the expansive military-industrial complex that threatens to engulf not only this country, but the entire world. Yet we see stopping Boeing from obtaining its killer drone contract as a very important victory for the anti-war movement in the U.S., as well as a way to show solidarity and support to those countries that are living in fear under their shadows. Before beginning the story of our campaign surrounding Boeing, it is important to understand how the Anti-War Committee Chicago came about. After the 15,000-person protests against NATO in May of 2012, anti-war sentiment in Chicago was rejuvenated and on the rise. The lesson many of us had learned at the RNC protests of 2008, linking demands to end war to economic demands and tying several struggles together to increase our numbers, had once again worked. We formed the Anti-War Committee Chicago with the goal to continue this kind of organizing. Organizing that would illustrate how the 1% is causing the economic crisis and attacking working people across the U.S. while, at the same time, going to war with countries across the world for their own gain. Boeing is the second largest weapons manufacturer in the United States. 46% of its profits in 2011 came from arms sales, bringing the total to $31.8 billion. When Boeing moved its headquarters to Chicago in 2001, it received $64 million in tax breaks, $20 million of which came from the city of Chicago itself. Yet, the past few years in Chicago have seen tremendous attacks on the public sector. Half the city's mental health clinics have been shut down, 49 public schools have been closed, and public transportation fares have increased substantially, while lower-income areas face diminishing bus and train lines. The University of Illinois Chicago, one of the only public universities in Chicago, had a 9.5% tuition hike in 2010. Yet, Boeing CEO James McNerney received a 20% raise in 2012, bringing his total salary to $27.5 million. His pay is more than Boeing paid in taxes that year. While this was said at the rally yesterday, I want to again emphasize these are not isolated incidents. This is a direct correlation of a system where the rich few exploit the masses. Additionally, of the 500 headquarters jobs Chicago gained, over 80% were filled by transfers from Seattle. Clearly, Boeing is not creating jobs or aiding the working class citizens of Chicago. It only serves the bloodthirsty interests of the 1%. And when I use the word bloodthirsty, it is not exaggeration or hyperbole. While I feel that all that are here in this room understand this, part of the work that the Anti-War Committee Chicago does in its Boeing campaign is make it clear that we want no part of money that is generated by creating weapons used to terrorize and kill those overseas. I do not want Chicago to be known as the birthplace of the next killer drone, and I am deeply saddened to know that Chicago-based Boeing provided GBU-39 bombs, which are made with depleted uranium, to Israel in the 2008 and 2012 sieges on Gaza. When these bombs are dropped, the depleted uranium stays in the soil for billions of years. The Palestinians who were not killed in these attacks have seen sharp increases in cancer rates and birth defects due to the effects of the uranium. In short, Boeing has contributed to the suffering of the Palestinian people and has aided Israel's brutal occupation. We should also be clear that while the Phantom Ray is Boeing's first killer drone prototype, they have been and continue to make drones that assist in threatening and carrying out assassinations in countries like Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. The child-sized coffins we placed at Boeing's doorstep yesterday represent over 178 children that have already been killed in Pakistan and Yemen, and the countless more whose blood will be on Boeing's hands if it wins this military contract. Lilla Watson, an activist with both the women's movement and the Indigenous Australia movement, once said, "If you have come to help me, you are wasting your time. But if you have come here because your liberation is bound with mine, then let us work together. When we demand money for people's needs, not for drones and drone warfare, we are not diminishing the devastation and death countries like Pakistan, Yemen, Afghanistan, and many more have suffered under the hands of U.S. imperialism. On the contrary, we are recognizing that we have much more in common with the people of those countries than we do with our quote-unquote leaders here, and that the first step in ending the suffering abroad is challenging those leaders here to value human needs over greed. We are recognizing that while the drone strikes are designed to diminish our numbers here by putting U.S. troops out of physical danger and to separate and disconnect us from the suffering of our brothers and sisters in those countries, we know that, as Martin Luther King once said, the security we profess to seek in foreign adventures, we will lose in our decaying cities. The bombs in Vietnam explode at home. This is especially true for drone pilots who have higher incident rates for anxiety disorder, depressive disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, substance abuse, and suicidal ideation. We know that while it is important to continue protesting against drones and drone warfare, we also know that technology is not going to stop if we stop the policy of using drones. The Pentagon right now is working on weapon systems that include microtechnology, biotechnology, and artificial intelligence. By 2025, according to the Army, half of the armed forces will be robotic. That is what the future looks like if we do not work to stop it in its tracks before it starts. We have seen from the recent slowdown on the U.S.'s threats against Syria that when we work together, we are a powerful force. The Anti-War Committee Chicago feels that if we are able to stop Boeing from winning this killer drone contract, we have a blueprint to shut down the new forms of technology that the military will ultimately come up with in its place. This is not to say that we are fighting a losing battle, but rather for us to be realistic and understand that the fight does not end here. I have been involved in the anti-war movement since 2007. There is a picture of me at my first protest holding a sign that says, "Troops out now." I want to remind us that the drones are not an answer to that demand, and we must continue our work and stress this point to others. Many folks here have been involved for much longer than I have, but there are also people who are newer to the anti-war movement. I find it inspiring to be among each and every one of you. Like Ella Baker said, we who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. I believe that everyone in this room today is a fighter and will continue fighting until freedom and justice for all is not just an empty phrase and a pledge of allegiance, but a reality for those in the U.S. and across the globe. Because the people, united, shall never be defeated. Thank you.